The Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Media.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Monday morning. You are tuning your heart to the truth with us today. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Clotto and David Dawson. Good morning, guys.
Hey, hey. Beautiful Monday morning indeed.
Good morning.
Are you guys wearing the same shirt?
Yes.
Like you guys are wearing the same shirt.
We called each other this morning.
Yeah, I usually
What are you wearing?
Whatever I wear on Sunday, I wear again on Monday. Is that what you mean?
Uh-oh. He's left
no
in
one
it,
saw
is what he's
outfit.
Saying.
Yeah. Same shirt.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, goodness.
I try not to.
We kind of pray for help.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, would you help like us.
Pray for clothes.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Here we go. Sameness.
Indeed.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. O most precious blood of Jesus Christ, we honor, worship, and adore you because of your work of the everlasting covenant that brings peace to mankind. Heal the wounds of the most sacred heart of Jesus. Console the Almighty Father on his throne and wash away the sins of the whole world. May all respect you and your precious blood. Have mercy on us all. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Francis Solano.
Solano.
Pray for us.
Pray for us.
Couldn't find a prayer for St. Francis Solano.
That's another one I got to learn about.
Yeah, but I figured this is the month of the most precious blood of Jesus, so I figured
that's very good.
Share a prayer with y'all in regards to that.
Absolutely.
Yes. Well, we will learn more about St. Francis Solano later on in today's show, but we're starting off with Deborah Somers in about 7 minutes. Deborah is the office manager with St. Anne Church and Shrine in Metairie, and today they're going to be talking about, or she's going to be talking about the upcoming St. Anne Novena. So looking forward to talking to Deborah today. In 18 minutes, Dr. Dan Schneider joins us. He's an adjunct professor of theology at Franciscan University of Steubenville, and today he's going to be talking about his book called The Liber Christo Method, A Field Guide for Spiritual Combat. Quite an interesting topic, always interesting to hear about spirituality, spiritual combat. And in 35 minutes, Alan Migliorato joins us. He's a co-author of Failing Forward, Leadership Lessons for Catholic Teens Today. And we're going to be talking about raising Catholic teens in today's world. And in 48 minutes, Shannon Eaton joins us. She's a women's health nurse practitioner with Women's New Life Clinic. She'll be updating us on the wonderful things they're doing over at Women's New Life Clinic. So we have a full show today, full house with great guests.
Yes,
looking
indeed.
Forward to it. And Damian, looking forward to your weather report.
Okay.
What do you have for us?
Well, we got the rain we needed yesterday for sure. Our entire listening audience was hit with thunderstorms and showers throughout the afternoon, and we were thankful of that. And at the same time, we've got about a 50-50 chance of rain again today. So I expect that again in the afternoon more than anything else. Few clouds this morning, but sun is rising and looking good. Temperatures high 94, the low is going to be about 78. Tomorrow, though, only a 15% chance of rain, and the high is expected to be close to 99, maybe even hit 100. So the heat will be back on. Temperatures in and around the area right now, Mandeville at 74, over in Houma Thibodeau at 76, Gulfport 77, and Baton Rouge at 75, and New Orleans already reporting 80 degree temperatures. So it was good to see the rain cool us down a little bit, but the heat will be back. But in the meantime, enjoy it while you can. And don't go too far, because Gabby will be talking to Deborah Somers. That'll be coming up as we get started on Wake Up. It's 5 after, so hit the ground running.
Thank you. Good Monday morning. I'm Father Chris Decker, and today's gospel is taken from Matthew chapter 10. Jesus said to his apostles, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace upon the earth. I have come to bring not peace, but the sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and one's enemies will be those of his household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me. Whoever receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever receives a righteous man because he is righteous will receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives only a cup of cold water to one of these little ones to drink because he is a disciple, amen, I say to you, he will surely not lose his reward." When Jesus finished giving these commands to his 12 disciples, he went away from that place to teach and to preach in their towns.
Thank you, Father Chris Decker and Jimmy Sagers, for today's gospel and reflection. There wasn't a reflection. We're having Deborah Summers on it instead. It is truly a Monday morning. Deborah Summers is the office manager over at St. Anne Church and Shrine in Metairie. Good morning, Deborah. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Good morning, Gabby. Thank you for having me.
St. Anne Church and Shrine in Metairie is such a wonderful supporter of Catholic Community Media, and we're so grateful to be talking about the upcoming St. Anne Novena. Can you tell us a little bit about the Novena and when it starts and how we can participate?
Okay, the Novena, our summer Novena always starts on July 18th and ends on the feast day of St. Anne and St. Joachim, July 26th. We have masses at 10 a.m. and 7 a.m. on 7 p.m. on the weekdays. On those days, we don't have our normal 8:45 mass. On Saturday, there'll be a healing mass with anointing of the sick at 10 a.m. And prayer blankets from our Sewing Seams of Faith ministry will be available. And on that day, there's no 7:30 a.m. mass. Then on the weekend, we have our regular mass schedule with the vigil at 4 p.m. on Saturday, and on Sunday, 8, 9:30, 11, and 5 p.m.
Tell us a little bit about the uniqueness of this novena, the St. Anne novena. We hear about so many different novenas that we can pray and be a part of, but this one is actually quite interesting.
The novena has been going on, as long as St. Anne has been, as long as there's been a shrine to St. Anne in the area, there's a shrine in New Orleans still, and I think they still do the Tuesday novenas. They still pray those, and then we have the National Shrine is in Metairie now, and we do the summer novena. We used to do two novenas a year, but it got very difficult to find somebody for 9 days. Twice a year. So now we do a mission in Lent and we do a novena in the summer to continue the perpetual novena to St. Anne.
One of the things that makes this quite unique as well is the healing mass. I always like talking about healing masses whenever we have an opportunity and there's an event going on, or in this case, the novena. There are a lot of people looking for healing, whether within themselves or within their families. Can you talk about the powerful healing mass that you guys will have?
It is. It's always very touching, very moving. There'll be mass at 10 o'clock on Saturday morning, and we'll have anointing of the sick during that mass for anyone who needs it. All of the priests, visiting novena priest, Father Brian Walker, and then our pastor, Father Billy, and our parochial vicar, Father Michael, will anoint people. They'll come up in procession and they'll anoint them. We also have prayer blankets available from our Sewing Seams of Faith ministry. And that's one of our biggest ministries in the parish. We always get lots of feedback telling us how comforting people find the blankets, the ladies. pray while they're, you know, they have a prayer list and they pray for people while they're sewing these blankets. The ministry is completely run on donations of monetary donations as well as donations of fabric and materials. And is, you know, people will make a donation sometimes to take a blanket, but it's not required.
I love this. And I was about to ask you about these prayer blankets. I've actually never heard of a prayer blanket before. And I think that's quite unique. So can they, when they attend one of these, if one of the days of the novena, can they get a prayer blanket?
The blankets are always available in the parish office year round. They can come anytime and pick one up. But they'll have some of the ladies from the ministry at each of the entrances of the church, because we have three, and they'll have blankets there that you can look at, and that'll be at the healing mass on Saturday.
I love that. Deborah, tell us one more time when the novena will take place.
It starts tomorrow, July 18th, and goes through the 26th. Weekday masses are 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. Saturday healing masses at 10 a.m. And the weekend masses are the vigil at 4 on Saturday. Sunday is 8, 9:30, 11, and 5.
And for those who maybe can't attend one of the days, is there a way that they can continue on with the novena or maybe start the novena at home?
Yes, they can go to our website, stannchurchandshrine.org, and we will be streaming the morning masses.
That's great. I love that. Deborah Somers, Office Manager with St. Anne Church and Shrine in Metairie. Where can they go, Deborah, to find more about what St. Anne Church and Shrine is up to and keep up with the live streams and the novena?
It's stannchurchandshrine.org, and we're also, you know, on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, all those.
Everywhere. Yes.
I love it.
We
and
try,
they're very active. Very
like
active
us.
On
just
Facebook.
Like us. That's right.
You have to be. Deborah, thank you so much for all that you do and your support to our radio station. We're so grateful. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for always helping us promote our events.
Definitely.
Yeah. St. Anne is the patron saint for housekeepers and moms. So all the more reason to participate in the novena. Because we all got one.
Yeah, absolutely. We all got one.
Dr. Dan Schneider joins us when we come back from the break. We're talking about spiritual combat. David will be talking to him. It is 15 past the hour on Wake Up.
This is Franciscan Media Saint of the Day for July 17th. Today we celebrate St. Francis of Solano. Francis was born in 1549 into a leading family in Spain. He was named after the saint from Assisi whose intercession helped the infant's mother during labor and delivery. His patron held a strong appeal for the young, popular Francis. At 20, he entered the Franciscans and enthusiastically sacrificed himself for others. His care for the sick during an epidemic drew much admiration. In 1589, Francis began missionary life in South America. Working in present-day Argentina, Bolivia, and Paraguay, he quickly learned the local languages and was well received by the native peoples. His visits to the sick often included playing a song for them on his violin. Sometimes at Christmas, he would gather the people around the crib, accompanying them as they sang hymns to the Christ child. Around 1601, Francis was called to Lima, Peru, where he urged the Spanish colonists to be true to their baptisms. In turn, he did his best to spread the gospel of Jesus by living an exemplary life. He also worked to defend the native peoples from oppression. After 2 decades of missionary service, Francis of Solano died in Lima in 1610 and was canonized in 1726. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Past the hour. You are tuning your heart to the truth. I'm David Dawson along with Damian Collado and Gabby Smith. We have a very interesting topic coming up right now. We have Dr. Dan Schneider with us, and not only is Dr. a professor of theology, he's a former Army U.S. Army attack helicopter pilot, combat veteran, and a member of Father Chad Ripperger's exorcism team, so you are no stranger to spiritual warfare. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
My goodness. And look, I have this book in front of me. It is a beautiful book. It's leather bound. It's fantastic. I got it in the mail just the other day, and I've been going through it, and boy, you don't pull any punches here. Talk about this book.
Yeah, this book is the development of a couple years of research, but also based on the field experience of Father Ripperger, his right-hand assistant, Father Mr. Chad Clement, I mean Kyle Clement, mm-hmm. And Father Ripperger. So this is the work that we're doing, put it into, we've gotten from our own field experience working with cases over the last, you know, Kyle and Father have been working cases for 20 years, and
yeah.
I'm the new guy. I've only been doing it for about 10 years.
Only 10 years. Okay. Wow. I can imagine some of the stuff you've seen and heard already. But, you know, when we're talking about spiritual warfare, and we're talking about combating demons is what we're talking about here, how do we know, because we all are suffering all kind of maladies, and we know people who are doing it too, how do we know what is and what is not?
I think that's one demonic. Of the advantages. Yeah, I exactly. I think it's one of the things that our program does, again, developed by Father Ripperger, is it helps to develop causality. So you don't just rush into prayer assuming that everything is the devil. Be suspicious. But the devil wants you to either look for him everywhere or to completely ignore his existence. As one bishop told Father Ripperger, I believe the devil exists, but I just don't think he's in my diocese.
Oh, wow.
And,
knowing
that he's actually at work, but determining causality is very important, because we're dealing with the human person. It's a complex. We're very complex. We're hylomorphic, you know, we're a body and soul composite, and we have to work on the human side. So part of the manual is really to help people understand how human trauma works, how to integrate trauma through that good old-fashioned redemptive suffering that our mothers and grandmothers taught us about. This is all very essential. As they put on the jacket of the book, we fight an ancient enemy, and the ancient weapons are best. And so part of the ancient weapons is learning a sacrificial theology, something that we don't like to talk about. We like to gunsling, and we like to come up with a special prayer to beat this or that demon. But really, it comes down to ground and pounds. You know, it comes down to smash mouth Catholicism, just grinding it out every day through the tools and the ancient weapons of the church.
You talk about that as far as the weapons go. You talk about the five smooth stones that David had in his pouch. Talk about that.
Right. Yeah, you know, this I just put together as just kind of to help the reader to really sink into it, so to speak, and just conceptualize it.
Mm-hmm.
This is something the use of David and Goliath as allegorical for what Christ did on the cross, which goes back to the second century, the battle imagery that Christ took the sword of David, which was the cross, and he decapitated Goliath. That the cross is a war memorial, a tropion. We even hear this to this day in the Good Friday liturgy, in a sequence called the Pange Lingua, sing my tongue of the glorious battle where Christ became triumphant through the triumph of the cross, or the tropion of the cross, this mm-hmm. war memorial. So from the earliest church, they saw with the image of Roman warfare going back into the ancient times, using that imagery and applying it to Christ. Mm-hmm. And so I use the five stones as and use biblical symbolism. What do these stones signify? And then I try to walk them through 12 lessons. This is uncover this. This is how you work on this issue. This is how you work on this issue. And one by one, try to walk people through to go deeper in their Catholic faith.
This is something. It's like a field manual here to make you stronger throughout the day. So it's almost like you're saying, it's a daily thing, right? I mean, it's not something that you just it's not a Band-Aid.
Right. No, really, if you look at this book, it's teaching people to do the daily work of growing in holiness of thought, word, and deed.
Mm-hmm.
And then little by little, it's kind of the inner logic behind it is you're teaching people first how to pray. You know, listening to Catholic radio is great. Listening to podcasts are great,
mm-hmm.
but that's not prayer.
Right.
So starting with vocal prayer at set times, and then specific vocal prayers, and then little by little teaching people the basics of Lectio Divina and meditation. Mm-hmm. This is all part of spiritual combat because you have to get custody of the imagination. Most of us have no custody of what goes in and out of our minds. And so learning how to discern the voice of God through prayer, how to push away imagine other things embedded into our imagination by purifying them through prayer is very important. And then the second element of it really is most Catholics don't know what a general confession is, but this is a long, deep dive general confession, uncovering areas of your life that the enemy could be hiding under through vices, repeated vices, and learning to replace those vices with the requisite virtue. Growing in virtue is very, very critical. You can say all the special prayers in the world you want, but if you lack the virtue, you're affected. You know, you're bringing paintballs or you're playing laser tag in the combat in the field of combat. You've got to become armed with the right weaponry, like we did in Iraq. We had to have the right weapons depending on the battle. So this book is trying to put the right weapons into your aircraft, so you know when you go into battle, or into your rucksack, so you have the right weapons for battle.
Yes, indeed. Wow,
Dr. Snyder, Damien here. You know, I made a Crucio many years ago, and when I left there, you basically became a soldier for Christ. And a lot of what you're talking about is you bring your military background along with your spiritual background, and you seem to be tying the two together, which I think is beautiful. I don't think we talk about the evil one enough, to be honest with you. So doing that, how can the general public, just our listener, deal with this? What, besides picking up your book, what are two or three key things that they need to be aware of where Satan is around, and they need to become aware of that?
I think number one, knowing the enemy's out there, knowing that we're born into combat. I mean, this is in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, that all of man's history is one of dour combat with the forces of evil, beginning from the very beginning, from the very beginning of time. And so we're born into combat. We don't become obsessed with it. We don't become overly focused on what the enemy does. We focus on Christ. This is why in the book I say that the enemy, the demon, is tertiary in spiritual combat. The first focus, number one, is focus on Jesus Christ.
Amen.
What is Christ doing? What has he done? How do I deepen my relationship with him?
Right.
And number two is, what are the obstacles to grace? What is blocking the flow of grace in my life? And part of those obstacles to grace is uncovering those areas and making a good confession, but also recognizing the grace of every sacrament. And for most of us, that means marriage. And letting the grace of holy matrimony flow into our home by rightly ordering the home, by cleaning the home of anything unholy, including unholy sexual practices, living a truly Catholic life in thought, word, and deed. This is critical, and removing those obstacles. And only then, in tertiary, do we look at, okay, what is the devil doing? Because oftentimes we get too focused on, oh, this is what the devil is. This, the devil did this, the devil said that. And I could write a book on that. I'm working on a follow-up manuscript for Canned Books on this as well, with a little bit of stories from the field. But I think the most important thing here is to focus on Christ. And what does this mean? And again, going back to answer your question in a secondary sense, the definition of liberation, or the definition of liberation in the Catholic sense, is reconciliation with God the Father through Christ. And to reconcile to God the Father through Jesus Christ means that there must be the sacraments, there must be a centrality of the Holy Virgin Mary. This is what reconciles us. It isn't to be demon-free so I can go on living a semi-pagan life.
Right.
It means living your life fully as a Roman Catholic, 100% living your faith.
Wow, wow. You know, I'm a member of a few men's clubs and organizations, and there's a resurgence of men being the spiritual leaders of their household, and that is something that's relatively new. What else can be done out there for men to become spiritual leaders of their household?
I think they absolutely need to see this. They need to see the power that God has given them under the authority of head of household, learning to pray for their family. And being the head of household and having spiritual authority doesn't mean you're the holiest person in the house. You should be. Most of the times our wives are more prayerful, they're holier, they're more receptive to God. But when it comes to engaging the enemy, we are the first contact. We're the first ones that should be engaging the enemy in our homes. We need to be recognized that. Most guys are content to, if they provide financially, they did their job. They come home, they clock out. They might work their tail off during the day, but then they come home and they disengage. And it needs to be the opposite. They need to envision a time clock in their kitchen that they clock in and go to work, not just physically to help around the house, but also spiritually to be engaging the enemy as head of household by natural law. This is one of the rules of engagement that the end that I put in the book as well, that the enemy will respond to the natural law of who has authority over the person, the place, or the object. This is very critical in combat.
It looks like we got to have you back. I got about 20 more questions for you, Dr. Dan, and we're out of time.
I love it.
Where do we get the book real quick?
Tan Books, you can, tanbooks.com, the Liber Cristo Method. You can also, of course, they, we go to the, you can go to the Dark Lord at Amazon. I think they've run out already. Amazon has, but I know you can, Tan's got plenty in stock, so go to tanbooks.com and order it right there.
Thank you, Dr. Dan. We appreciate it.
5 after the hour on this happy Monday morning. So glad you could join us. Damian Collado, Gabby Smith, David Dawson, all with you to bring you the truth. And we hope you're enjoying what you're listening to. Right now, Alan Migliorato is our guest. He is the co-author of Failing Forward, Leadership Lessons for Catholic Teens Today. Alan's with us each and every Monday, and today we're talking about respecting others. That's right, at home, at school, socially, and how following Christ is a great place to start when it comes to respect. Good morning, Alan.
Hey, good morning, y'all. Happy to be back with you.
Well, glad to have you. So let's start with R-E-S-P-E-C-T, as Aretha Franklin would say.
You know, I would say, like, we kind of expect respecting others just to come naturally to kids. It's like, well, why would you want to be mean to somebody, you know? And we could ask adults the same thing, but, like, it happens, right? It's one of those things that kind of happens. People get on our nerves, and, you know, and I can't even tell you how many people's lists I'm on, probably, but I think it's important to teach our kids to serve, you know, and what does that look like, serving others, you know? And it starts with, like, really listening and active listening. So I think active listening is a good skill to teach our children so that they can respect others. And what does that mean? So active listening would be like, so you don't want to go to school today because our kids say, I don't want to go to school today. And as a parent, you could say, okay, so tell me why you don't want to go to school. And we know they're going to end up at school. But we still have to listen and really practice that active listening. Because once we shut down our kids, like, completely, it doesn't mean we're giving in to them. It just means that we're listening to what they want to do and trying to understand, trying to gain understanding. So once we shut down our kids, they learn to shut down others, and that can come across disrespectful. You know, and think about, you know, as a parent, we're like, well, because I said so.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we always say that, or just because, you know, do what I say. When you're 18, you can do what you want. You know, and that's a big thing as well. You can do whatever you want once you're 18, but right now you're going to do what I tell you to do. And there's a time for that. But there's also a time for, well, tell me why you don't feel like going to school, or you don't feel like going to church. Well, it's just boring. Really, you think it's boring? What do you think is boring about it? Well, just, you know, the music. Oh, so if it wasn't for the music, you'd like going to church. Yeah, maybe. Okay, so what I hear you saying is you don't like the music at church, and that makes you not want to go. Is that right? Yeah. Okay, well, maybe we're focusing on the wrong thing when we get to church then, because it's not a concert. So, you know, and here's what church is about. Does that help you? You know, and just kind of walking through things with our kids instead of saying, look, get in the car, I've had it, I'm not talking to you about this anymore. And there is a time for that too. But when we jump to it, our kids learn to jump to it, and then they don't respect other people, you know, at least listening to their people's differences. And if somebody's not exactly like us, automatically, sometimes kids don't like them, you know, as they get older. Toddlers, when they're very young, they're accepting of everyone. And I think that's why Christ tells us, you know, to enter the kingdom of heaven, you must enter like children, which is just loving everybody around you and not worrying about, you know, the differences and just kind of focusing on him. But we lose that sometimes. And a lot of times, you know, we wonder why, as parents, why haven't our children grown? Well, we're not helping them grow sometimes, you know, like we're stuck in that trench too. We've been ourself in this, you know, I'm your parent, do what I say, and we forget to listen.
Yeah. Well, you know, to show respect, you have to teach respect, and at the same time, use discipline to teach, but but not to punish. And you were touching on that. And I think the key is teens can learn to respect others just by how the parent is respecting the teen and vice versa. Like you said, it's not only listening, communication and the tone in your voice. All those things come into play.
Oh, yeah. I've made huge mistakes growing, you know, when my kids were younger and shut people down and, you know, been upset and not listened. And I'm sure that my kids picked up some of that, you know, and it's something mm-hmm. that we have to be humble enough to say, hey, what I just did, that's not the right thing to do.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I'm going to go back and apologize to that guy or whatever. And just to let our kids know, like, we're not perfect and we're not asking for perfection. We're asking for, you know, just us to be faithful and to try.
Exactly. So let's talk about from a social dynamic, respecting others. It's funny because I know it happened to me and it happens to a lot of my friends and their kids. You'll meet somebody and they say, oh, I ran into your son or your daughter and they were so kind. They were so respectful, et cetera, et cetera. And you're going like, they're talking about my kid? You know, and what's happening there? In other words, why? I think it's great, but is there something that they actually have learned and they demonstrate it with others, but sometimes they take it for granted with family?
Well, I think so. I think, you know, the people that we're closest with get to see how nasty we can be, and we can put on, you know, that facade because we don't have to be around these people. Yeah, I bumped into your kid at the grocery store and I dropped something and he came over and picked it up and asked if he could help. Yeah, that's easy to do for 10 minutes. But when you're around somebody, like, our true colors come out at home. So, like, if we're treating our family worse than we're treating, you know, our neighbors, then that's something we got to look at because we've got to love ourselves, love our families, love our neighbors. We have to love everybody. You can't put on masks and pretend. And I'm not saying that your kids are doing that. I'm just saying, like, they just got to keep themselves in check and say, am I doing this at home as well?
Yeah.
And I think everyone's guilty of that too. You know, it's like, well, I'm nice to our company, but the minute our company leaves, then I'm going to tell everybody what I really think about them. And that's, you know, that can't happen either. So it's, I mean, it can, and it does, but it shouldn't, you know, and you can look back and laugh at some of this stuff once in a while, you know, oh my gosh, you're so cranky when nobody's here. Well, then let's keep company around all the time, you know? So,
yeah.
Like, we got to fall into respecting ourselves, respecting our families, and being able to speak with one another. But I think it's probably a natural thing to open up a little bit more and to bring those circles of intimacy get smaller and get closer to us, they see the real us. And that should scare us if we're not, you know, we're treating them the way that we treat people in the biggest circle of intimacy, the same way as we're treating those closest to us.
Yeah, even if you don't agree, I think, again, as that your teenager gets older, conversations are important, and you don't have to agree on the same thing, but you still should show respect. And again, when parents, it's really up to the parents to start that as early as possible with your child and do it in obedience to some degree, but also knowing the fact that we show our love for God by loving others, including those in authority. And I think a child or a teen needs to appreciate that as well. Otherwise, they get into trouble, and then that causes more problems for them.
I think one of the strongest things we can do as parents for our children and for their future is, from a young age, teach them that not only should they serve others, but that it's important for them to see us serving our community. And that might look like volunteering at a donation center, Christian donation center, or Christian sharing center,
mm-hmm.
or it might look like, you know, just helping out at the church and being an usher or being a Eucharistic minister. Like, and it's important to keep that focus on Christ, because it's easy to go help paint a bunch of park benches, and where was Christ in that? And that's important, as long as you show your kids, look, like, we're doing this because we're supposed to love our neighbors, and this will help, because this park, this doesn't have a whole lot of money in this community, and we're here to help and serve our time and our talent. And you don't always have to share treasure in order to help community. You can share time and talent. And that's important, because that's all part of us. And once our kids seeing us acting as Christians, they'll want to act as Christians, and then they really will be Christians.
Yeah. And self-control is part of the respect as well. Self-control of oneself to where they are able to control what they say, how they say it, and rather than open up a can of worms, we're going to leave it at that. But I will say encouragement by parents is important, and at the same time, forgiveness on both sides.
Yeah, we got to forgive ourselves sometimes as parents, because I know I'm very hard on myself when I do something that, you know, I should have thought about it and responded instead of reacted. And, you know, there's been times when my kids were small where, you know, you react to something. It's like a knee-jerk reaction, and you can't undo it, but you also can't beat yourself up on it. You just got to be honest with your kids and say, hey, I should have reacted to that better. I should have thought about it before I, you know, grounded you, and I'm sorry. But, you know, like, we've still got to work on what you did, and I got to work on how I respond to it. But I love you, and I want you to know that, you know, I'm sorry. And that's hard, oh my gosh, for some parents to say sorry to their children. They think that authority gives them the right to, you know, to
pass on that.
Around, and that's not it.
Not at all. All right, Alan, thank you so much, as always, for being with us. If you'd like to learn more from Alan Migliorato, go to AdventureCatholic.com. Stick around, folks. We've got more coming your way. It's 15 before the top of the hour.
It is 48 past the hour. You're tuning your heart to the truth on Wake Up This Morning. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Collado and David Dawson. Our next guest is Shannon Eaton. Shannon is a women's health nurse practitioner over at Women's New Life Clinic. Good morning, Shannon. Thanks for being with us today.
Good morning. Thank you.
Well, tell us about the wonderful services that Women's New Life Clinic offers and a few updates, if you have any.
Okay. So what we offer at Women's New Life Clinic is STI testing and treatment, well woman care, urgent gynecologic care, IUD removals, Nexplanon removals, and in the New Orleans office, we offer prenatal care up to 20 weeks. We also have a low-cost cash pay option, and most insurances and Medicaid are accepted. Donations to Women's New Life Clinic allow us to offset the cost of the free and reduced price services.
It's amazing. I actually didn't know that you offered IUD removals, which is quite interesting. It's just something that is, what don't you guys do, really? And one of the things is the abortion pill reversal. Kind of talk about that, because that is quite an interesting new thing that we've been talking about for quite some time.
Yeah, so we do offer the abortion pill reversal for free at Women's New Life Clinic. It works by blocking the effects of the first drug called mifepristone. So mifepristone is a progesterone blocker. So what we do is we give progesterone to help override the effects of the mifepristone. And hopefully that will be done in time to where, you know, the baby doesn't demise. The general effectiveness is about 68% effective nationwide. That's what the studies have shown. And, you know, when a woman seeks it out, of course, she's going to get professional counseling at Women's New Life Clinic along with the protocol, you know, that we will follow her through the first trimester with.
Hey, Shannon, it's David. I'm sorry, Gabby. I was eavesdropping in on this conversation. And when you're talking about the abortion pill reversal, there's something new out there, right? Are they talking about over-the-counter abortion pills now?
Well, what that is Plan B, or that's the morning after pill. So
okay.
What that is it's I don't know which one they're putting in the over the counter. I think it's the one, it's an artificial progesterone.
Okay.
Which if ovulation hasn't already occurred, how that works is it prevents ovulation. However, if ovulation has occurred and conception takes place, it still has the potential of preventing implantation.
Oh, dear. Okay.
So it also is, you know, potentially abortifacient as well.
Okay.
And with that drug, what I have found is it really messes up women's cycles often. Women may come in and they haven't had a period, or they're, you know, their cycles are off. And then, you know, with a little more digging, I find out they've taken the morning after pill. So, you know, it's an education piece, because they don't really tell women about these side effects and these potential,
right.
mishaps and aberrations in their cycle afterwards.
I think the part that frightens me the most is it's now over the counter, You know, that I mean, that's really going to do
you
some
can,
damage.
You can order it. You can order it online.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, that's the one thing that I saw.
The abortion pill you can now order online. Yeah.
Yeah, well, and I even saw an increase in people ordering it online for women, even men as well, with the overturn of Roe versus Wade last summer. So that one was quite interesting. But Shannon, something changing your cycle can't be good for your body when we're all about going natural, organic, vegan, and we're pushing that. And it can be all good as far as eating healthy and eating clean. But what we're putting in our bodies being artificial can't be good when it's changing our natural cycles, right? It's kind of like hormone blockers we talked about last week. That can't be good. It's like the birth control pill.
Right.
That's absolutely correct, yes. And this is why, because these are chemical analogs of the hormones that our bodies make, that's where the side effects come from. It stops the natural progression of a woman's cycle, which the natural hormones give a woman's health many other benefits. And, you know, they're not getting that, at least for that cycle, but it's still, you know, there's that potential for many, many side effects.
I wanted to go back, Shannon, to the abortion pill reversal, because you said it's free over at Woman's New Life Clinic. How far along does a woman have to be for this to take effect?
Well, the studies for the abortion pill reversal say it's effective up to 8 weeks. I think it's FDA approved up to 8 or maybe 10 weeks now, but they'll sell it to any woman. They'll sell it to any woman regardless of how far along she is. The further along a woman is, the less effective the first pills are. The second pills, if a woman takes those are the ones that make a uterus contract and, you know, they make a woman deliver the baby after that. So if the first pills don't cause a demise of the baby, then usually, you know, basically labor will cause the baby to demise during that process. It is a sad thing, and there are women who have had horrible experiences with it. As far as the further along she is, the less effective the first pills are, but not necessarily the second pills. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm glad that you guys, you know, we have about a minute left. I'm glad that you guys are there in the New Orleans area and Baton Rouge as well, especially at a time like this where it's going to continue to be that fight to save lives. So I'm glad that you guys are there and you run on donations. And I wanted to talk about ways that people can help you guys, especially with the fall coming up. You have the Gala for Life. You also have the Born to Run. Those are two big events that people can help continue to support your ministry.
Absolutely. Our Gala for Life is at Club 44 in New Orleans. It's on Friday, October 6, 2023. It's always a fantastic event. And then our Born to Run is occurring in Baton Rouge downtown on Saturday, November 4th. Both of those events can be, viewed and accessed and registered for at our website, which is womansnewlife.com. There's also a /donate. You can register for these events there, or if anyone wants to just donate, they can do that at the website as well.
My goodness. Shannon, thank you so much for being with us. One thing I did want to say is that Woman's New Life also has well woman checkups as well as natural family planning information. So it's just kind of like a great place to kind of get all of your information on how your body works. But they also have counselors. And when you step inside, you're greeted with a smile. So definitely check them out, womansnewlife.com. Thank you so much, Shannon, for being with us today.
Thank you so much.
All right. Wonderful ministry. We love supporting Woman's New Life Clinic, Allison and the entire team over in the New Orleans area and in Baton Rouge as well.
All right.
Yeah.
By the way,
a
special shout out to my son-in-law, Adrian Allen. Turned 40 years old yesterday. We had a big celebration for him, and we had a good time over the weekend in Mobile. And happy birthday,
yes, indeed,
son-in-law. And we are going to, we have guardian angels, and quite often I don't think they get the respect they deserve. as Alan and I were chatting about respect today. Mm-hmm. So we're going to say our closing prayer to a guardian angel. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Angel of God, my guardian, to whom the goodness of the Heavenly Father entrusts me, enlighten, protect, and guide me, now and forever. Amen.
Amen. Good prayer. I got to remember that. I got to remember I got a guardian angel.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you back here tomorrow at 7 a.m. Central Time. Dawn Buettner joins us. She's the author of The Leaven of the Saints, Bringing Christ into a Fallen World. Jordan Haddad with the St. Louis the Ninth Art Society will be with us. And St. Mary Ann Fatula will talk about the wonders of the Mass and the Eucharist. Have a wonderful Monday. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Media.